Imagine if you could turn 1 hour of your time before the mediation into a savings worth hundreds of dollars while simultaneously increasing your chance of success and protecting you from legal and physical jeopardy. Today, I'm going to share with you just how to do that. Welcome to the Pro Se Divorce Podcast, where you can learn how to turn mediocre mediations into major successes. My name is Tom Davis, and I'm a certified professional divorce mediator in Denver, Colorado. I've helped thousands of clients over the past two decades reach success rates and outcomes that are significantly higher than what is typical. In each episode, I will share valuable insights, practical skills, and tools you can utilize right away to improve your mediation outcomes. And I'll serve as your guide through the potentially confusing process of divorce. Better days are coming, starting now. All right, today I'm going to show you one more step you can take to get more value out of your mediation. You know, if you think about how much each of these little steps adds up to, it can really amount to a small fortune. And I guess that's why this podcast exists. So today we're talking about pre-mediation disclosures, why they're essential, and why you need them. They also may be court-ordered, and this is a part of a successful mediation. There are two types of pre-mediation disclosures, typically. There's financial disclosures, and then there's what we could call mediation topics disclosures, or sort of the background and goals of the mediation. Sometimes they're combined into one. Sometimes mediators ask for them separately, depending on the type of mediation. And they can also be called confidential pre-mediation disclosures. And the addition of that word confidential is significant, and we'll talk more about that later. If there is anything either party is planning to introduce into the mediation, both parties should first submit it to the mediator, as the mediator typically does not permit such material or exhibits to be introduced into the mediation without first reviewing it. This keeps the mediator ahead of the conversation and prevents any party from feeling ambushed or surprised during the mediation. Now let's take a closer look at the two types of disclosures and how they are typically submitted to the mediator. So the first is pre-mediation disclosures. This is more informational, less financial, or confidential pre-mediation disclosures. These are broad terms to describe the submission of information to the mediator prior to the mediation, and most commonly these disclosures contain, you know, background information for the mediator and will usually contain some of the following, although could be different or additional topics as well. So what are the issues we're trying to address in mediation? I'll ask both parties this, and it's interesting when they respond with different issues. Someone wants to address something in mediation, the other doesn't. So that's a pre-mediation topic I need to confirm with the parties. Are we going to mediate this topic or not? Why has this issue come up? Like, what's the background on this? Why has this become a problem? What issues does this create for you if it's not resolved? So if we don't fix this in mediation, what are the consequences? What is the status with the court on these topics? Has a motion been filed? Has anything been done? Is there a court order to mediate, for example? If so, the mediator needs to see that so they know what the goals of the mediation are as ordered by the court, the timelines, things like that. They may ask, a mediator may ask you to prioritize your topic. So if you submit 10 things for mediation, you know, we may not be able to satisfy all of them or even get through all of them if they're not court ordered. Sometimes we'll start with 10 and we'll get 8 of them done, and the parties will say the other 2 aren't that important. It's really helpful for the mediator to know in advance what the order of priority is for these things so they don't waste time on things that are less important. And then you may be asked too, like, what are you going to contribute? What could you contribute if you got what you wanted, if you got the issues resolved in a way that was, you know, in your favor? What would you offer up in return? So the mediator has some things to work with. And there could be more or different questions. Depends on the case too. You know, if there's some financial complexities, if there's a trust involved, there's domestic violence involved, things like that. So if there is a court or other agency involved, the mediator should see that information as well. So if that can include outstanding child support or spousal maintenance arrearages, let's say from the child support agency in Colorado, that's the Family Support Registry or FSR. If there's an existing parenting plan court order, the mediator should see that. So they're very familiar with what is currently ordered prior to the mediation. You don't want to pay your mediator at the top of the mediation and start reading through all your background information. You'd rather pay them to read it all prior to the mediation where they won't be constantly interrupted by the other party who wants to clarify things. It's also painful to be aware of the billing timer clicking off money while you sit there and watch the mediator read. It's just not that professional. So have them do it before. The other type of disclosures are financially related, so we'll call them financial pre-mediation disclosures. And these are typically only focused on things like proof of income, tax returns, proof of expenses, bills, statements for child care or extracurricular activities, medical bills, things like that. And if they're going to be referenced during the mediation, we should definitely get them in advance so we have an idea of what we're talking about, the scope of it, and have it organized in a way where it could be shared easily in the mediation. And if we're doing something like child support review, I'll typically ask for the last 3 years of tax returns, current pay stubs, proof of child care expenses, health insurance premiums, things like that. Just so in the review of the child support together, we have everything we need and we don't have to stop the mediation or put things on pause while someone digs through a hard drive. Or, you know, hopefully we don't have to stop the mediation and reschedule for when we have all the information. That's why the disclosures are so important to do up front. So let's talk about confidentiality. Because you're submitting some information that is critical to the mediation, it's also very private. Things like what you'd be willing to offer, income, your thoughts on the other party's issues, things like that, that could be a negotiative advantage for the other person to know, for example. You want to make sure that these disclosures are going to be kept between you and the mediator when you get into the session, where possible. If the request does not have the word confidential in it, and even if it does, you should confirm with a mediator that the information you provide is privileged and should not be shared. Now, some of the information, like I said, may not be able to remain confidential without special circumstances. For example, if a client were to ask me, I need you to keep my income confidential from the other party because I don't want them to know just how much I'm making, that's not going to be honored. It is a court order to fully disclose and be transparent, not have me misrepresent or obscure this information, because that's not fair to the other party. And so that may not be, but if there's something that you would like to be, you should make sure that you mark that submitted information or that disclosed information at the time with the statement like, now the following needs to be kept highly confidential and should not be shared with the other party without me first saying it's okay. And this will help the mediator from assuming or accidentally releasing information that you definitely didn't want released. Anything not specifically flagged as confidential by the mediator and yourself is fair game to bring up in a mediation. So just be aware of that. Therefore, you should play an active role in making sure that you and the mediator understand what is and what is not privileged information. Now, financial disclosures are expected by the court. So parties can make informed decisions in the mediation. And if the mediation is court ordered, there's typically an order for the parties to exchange financial disclosures, you know, like 7 days prior to the mediation or some time frame like that. And that is expected in the form, typically in Colorado, in a sworn financial statement. The court form contains all of the financial information for the party, income, expenses, bills, things like that. It also includes debts and assets, although usually those don't play any type of role when we review child support, but sometimes they do, like if you've racked up credit card debt in the service of paying off, you know, extracurricular activities that are under your parenting plan, things like that. So basically that all needs to be submitted and that is shared information. So be aware that these documents are filed with the court typically as well. And so any information on there will be available and visible to both parties. So such things as your income figures, your addresses, name of employer, things like that. So you want to be careful with understanding if there are special circumstances regarding disclosures. Like if you're, I've got clients who have security clearances where there's special considerations, excuse me. And there's, you know, there may be restraining orders, no contact orders, there's domestic violence, things like that. So we want to be really careful with understanding where the information is going to end up when you submit it. So the exceptions to a full disclosure and how to handle them. There are certain legitimate circumstances where the parties do not wish to expose details to each other. Like I mentioned, when there's restraining orders or, you know, safety issues, or there's complicated financial situations like trusts where the parties have their own conflictive confidentiality requirements. But in cases like this, I may have the parties submit the information to me, and I will only share what is relevant part of the financial disclosures necessary to complete our child support review, let's say, without disclosing everything. So there may be, income information that I can confirm because I've seen it in the distribution payments from the trust, and I can confirm that with the other party. It says, yes, this is the amount that it's indicated, without also showing them on that page other factors that are under strict confidentiality as a part of the trust and that have nothing to do with the mediation. So this can get really complicated. If there's a lot of money at stake, you may want to consult at least with an attorney to figure out what the requirements and risks thereof are. This has been a way to make sure that the incomes are confirmed and we get through without exposing everything to each other or the court necessarily. So cases where there are safety issues can also be problematic. Where sharing a party's pay stub, for example, could expose where that party's working, and that could lead to a potential safety concern if that information is shared. So actively working with your mediator up front so you both fully understand the confidentiality concerns is critical so that you get the benefits of the disclosure and avoid any issues. Now, if you have an attorney, they can help you prepare an adequate and proper pre-mediation disclosure to the mediator. Ask them about this if you have an attorney. About half the time, actually that's not true, about 75% of the time when I have court-ordered referred mediations with attorneys attached, they do not send me voluntarily a pre-mediation disclosure. I have to ask for it, and so they have to prepare it, and this is an important part of the process. Like I said, it has a lot of benefits, and so if I don't have that, your attorney hasn't provided that, you may inquire about that with them and come up with a plan together. Usually the mediator will request the desired pre-mediation disclosures in advance of the mediation. But if they don't, you should inquire about it. You can discuss that with the mediator really quickly up front and say, what do we think about the value of having pre-mediation disclosures, and then come up with a plan together. Now, there are some security and privacy concerns we need to address when we're transmitting sensitive information that are in pre-mediation disclosures. We got social security numbers, potentially. We got all kinds of really important information. And so I will typically have clients upload that information into a secure client portal so that that isn't sent over email and subject to malicious interception by those shady folks out there. So work with your mediator to address not only the content of the disclosures and the ultimate confidentiality of the information disclosed, but also the method of transmission back and forth between you so that efforts are made to protect your privacy as well. To summarize, by doing a thorough job of your pre-mediation disclosures, you protect sensitive information from accidental disclosure during mediation, you contribute to the success of the mediation, you reduce your mediation fees, you secure the privacy and protection of your personal information, you allow the mediator to get up to speed before the meeting so precious time isn't spent getting on top of things at the start of the call or the meeting, you help the mediator better understand where and what and why the conflicts are and where they are and how they affect each of you. You help the mediator better understand where the potential areas of agreement are. You keep the mediation compliant with court orders and deadlines. You keep the mediation on track so time isn't wasted looking up information during a call or having to stop the mediation and reschedule for another time when the information can be found, tax returns, things like that. Many clients grumble at the notion of preparing a pre-mediation disclosure. It takes time to do it. It takes time to go find this information, to transmit it, and it's kind of a pain. And some of them say, I don't know why we're doing this for. The mediation is not going to be successful anyway. But trust me, clients will grumble even more if the mediation wastes hundreds of their dollars, leaks sensitive information, or the mediator doesn't have the right information to help guide you through to a successful outcome. All right, so in our next episode of this series of 10 tips, we're going to explore how following mediator instructions and demystifying mediator behavior during mediations can dramatically affect its outcomes. There are times when you should take the mediator's lead, and knowing when and how that works can be unlocking the actual value of your mediator and be very beneficial to you. And you also know when to push back and how to push back on certain things that you reasonably should do that. And you'll want to know about this potentially complicated dynamic that's not discussed much. So thank you. This has been Tom Davis. Thank you for joining me today. Remember to protect every accomplishment you make together, and that setbacks are just wins in the making. Stay positive. The Pro Se Divorce Podcast is a production of Family Synergy Mediation. The information in these podcasts are opinions only and should not be considered legal advice. Visit myfamilymediation.com to learn more.